We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Yeah, I just went out there and did what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm just trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
I can't take it. You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Let's eat, we go to game 7, baby. Game 7.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by BetMGM and Monkey Knife Fight. Nominated by the FSWA again.
Hello.
It's Friday, January 22nd. I'm here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K. Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
You can find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and now YouTube, and we would appreciate a nice review. We're sticking with the new format, so news, waiver wire, and then DFS. First, in last night's three-game slate, the Lakers beat the Bucks 113-106. LeBron with a great game, 34 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. KCP hit 7 threes. Milwaukee only got 16 points off the bench. KCP is 86th in 9 category leagues, almost 2.5 threes a game. Shannon, any thoughts on KCP this year? He's having a great season so far.
It's pretty clear to me that his shooting is just, it's off the charts. 55% from the field goal, from the floor, 93% from the line, 57% from downtown. That's not sustainable. He's going to regress back to the norm. I do think he is a decent player for like 14 team leagues. He can hold some value. He gets enough three-pointers, enough steals. You know, he'll score 11 or 12 points per game. But I would not expect him to break out. I mean, he did good. He was solid in the playoffs last season. You know, if you look back at the Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, he averaged about 12 points per game, playing 30 minutes per. He was shooting well at that time, too. I just don't expect it to stay with what we've seen so far this season. You know, he's an okay player. He's just shooting above his head right now.
Alex, what are your thoughts on the Milwaukee's bench?
Well, it's not good. Those are my easy thoughts. you know, they traded depth away and they let some depth go, you know, to get Drew Holiday. And I can't really argue with that because come playoff time, you know, Holiday and Middleton are probably going to be on the court 40 plus minutes a game when it matters. But yeah, the regular season, I mean, it's getting exposed already. You know, Augustine, Bryn Forbes, Connaughton, Thanasis, Adetokunbo, and Bobby Portis. Like, that's the bench.
When are they going to give Craig some minutes? I mean, well, I don't expect him to shoot, but he's supposed to be kind of a defensive stopper. I mean, at least throw 5 minutes at him, you know, at the top scorer, I would think. I know he was injured early, though, right?
He was. He broke his nose, but he's been available for since the 15th. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised he hasn't played yet. I'm sure he'll get in there, but, yeah, right now the bench not looking so good. Ken, speaking of bench players, in Cleveland, there was a trade.
Yeah, in Cleveland, the Cavaliers have dealt Kevin Porter to the Rockets for a future second-round pick. Porter has battled personal issues in the offseason, recently had a blowout with Cleveland's office personnel. Gentlemen, outside of Porter's woes, is Cleveland suddenly a deep team?
I don't know if I would call it deep. I suppose they're deep at the four and the five, especially after Kevin Love returns. But I wouldn't consider them deep one through three. Garland, Sexton, Okoro, that's kind of their future right there, along with, I'm assuming, I'm spacing on his
Larry
name.
Nance?
No. The guy they just traded for. Holy
God. Right. Jared Allen and Torian Prince, they're adding serious. So, I mean, not Torian Prince.
Torian Prince doesn't matter. He doesn't matter at all. All right. But Jared Allen, Okoro, Sexton, Garland, that's their future. That's their core, their young core. I don't expect Drummond to stick around too long. I think Jared Allen's presence there hurts Drummond's fantasy value tremendously. You know, JaVale McGee, who was getting decent production and limited run earlier in the season, that's gone. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Larry Nance once Kevin Love returns. I don't know. It's an interesting team. I'll give it that. There are some pieces of this roster I like. I like Sexton, Garland, and Allen as a young core to build around, but they need something else to add to that mix, and I don't think the answer is Kevin Love and Andre Drummond.
Well, Alex, do you think the Cavs can get that something else by moving Drummond?
I don't really think that they can get anything that meaningful from trading Drummond. He's only got 1 year left on his deal, so he'd probably get traded to a contender that would need some center depth. And I originally, you know, last season I liked him to the Clippers, but now they have Ibaka. I mean, maybe they can just trade, you know, Drummond for Zubac straight up. I'm not really sure, but you know, there are some teams that could certainly use Drummond at center. I think Boston could theoretically use him at center. But yeah, I don't think they'd get a lot for him just because of the contract situation.
Now, it's similar to what, I mean, Pistons just gave him up. They didn't get anything in return for him. And I just think the type of player that he is doesn't hold very much value in the trade market. But yeah, like Alex said, I do think there are teams where he makes sense. Boston, I think Charlotte is actually a very interesting one. And they could even move someone like Bridges where it might make sense for both teams.
You know, Shannon, I know you're not a big Torian Prince fan for fantasy, but I feel like when you look at these other terrible bench options for the Cavaliers, it's at least an upgrade for him this year. Versus shoving minutes at Lamar Stevens or Damian Dotson. Anywho, Alex, we got a lot of more COVID news, unfortunately.
Yeah, two games tonight have been postponed: Washington at Milwaukee and Memphis at Portland. Memphis next three games have been postponed: Friday, Sunday, and Monday. Sunday and Monday are both against the Kings. So keep that in mind if you have fantasy players in those games. The cancellation, I should say postponement, but it's probably a cancellation. Sixth consecutive game for Washington. They can't make the eight-player minimum. Just earlier this week, they were just trying to get six players so they could hold a practice. Yeah, Ken, any thoughts about the situation?
Well, can I whine about Jimmy Butler? They've got COVID issues in Miami as well. He's missing his sixth straight game due to COVID. Clearly, far worse for Butler than his fantasy managers. He's only played in six games so far. He missed some games earlier with an ankle injury. I went all in on Butler on a bunch of teams, and it's not going well.
Yeah, Butler's tough. If you drafted him, I think people bought into his bubble play and, you know, the way he carried that team to the finals and hoped that would carry over. But even, you know, he'll return. He should return soon. Once he does, I expect him to do essentially what he's done the past couple of years. So, you know, 19, 20 points, 5 and 5, good value. But I would not expect him to play the way he did during the playoffs last year.
In other depressing COVID news, Karl Anthony Towns still roughly a week away from returning. We know about the tragic family stuff with Towns regarding COVID. He also missed time with a wrist injury. He's killing my FSGA team, but clearly tougher for Towns than for me, little fantasy manager. But a lot of depressing COVID news. Let's switch to some good news, though. Alex, your guy, Jordan Clarkson, with 19 points off the bench in the Jazz's 129-118 win over the Pelicans last night. Alex, you discussed Clarkson in your boom and bust article. He's currently ranked 54th in 9 category leagues. Can he keep this up as sixth man for Utah?
I think for the most part, yes. I mean, he was pretty good last year once he got dealt to Utah. His shooting is a little unsustainable. Like, he's, you know, 3% over his field goal from last year. He's 10% over his free throw, so keep that in mind. But he's always been, you know, a pretty efficient shooter, at least marginally. And he's just someone who comes in for, you know, 24 to 30 minutes and can put up 15 points, you know, 4 rebounds and 2 assists. So, you know, I don't expect him to continue, you know, ranking 54th in 9 cat leagues, but he should finish top 100, and he's worth at least a bench spot on most people's teams, I would think, in a 12 teamer.
I think it's at least a good sign that he's playing this well, even though Bogdanovich has returned.
Yeah.
A lot of Clarkson's good numbers last year was with an injured Bogdanovich out, but Clarkson's still earning his shots and giving them Vinnie Johnson-like microwave production off the bench.
Yeah, the obvious comp, I think, is Lou Williams, and he's got that same type of skill set. I don't see why he can't be what Lou Williams has been the past 3-4 years. You know, the Jazz need that, you know, outside of Donovan Mitchell and yeah. Mike Conley. They really don't have anyone who just is pure buckets. So having a guy like Clarkson come off the bench, I see it as somewhat sustainable. I mean, 18 points per game, probably not, but 14, 15, which, you know, we saw 15 points last year, 16, almost 17 points the year before that, you know, both of those instances were 24, 27 minutes per game. So he's not playing a boatload of minutes and he's still very productive. I expect that to continue.
Yeah. He's taking the second most shots on the team right now, 13.6. And he's only one shot behind Donovan Mitchell in terms of per 36 shot attempts. So they are clearly using him a lot. So yesterday also the Knicks, they held the Warriors to 104 points and won by 15 on the road. Ken, I'm going to let you take the floor on Tom Thibodeau's Knicks defense.
Yeah, they're holding opponents to a league low, 102.8 points a game. The Lakers are second at 105.2. Keep the Knicks defense in mind for DFS and player prop unders. New York's defense was kind of historically been a joke the last 5 to 10 years. But we all know Coach Tom Thibodeau prioritizes defense. He's got Mitchell Robinson playing major minutes, but has coached him to not sell out for blocks, instead boxing out for defensive rebounds. Hey, I love to dump on the Knicks, but they're 8-8, playing fundamental ball. Speaking of Knick improvements, guys, is RJ Barrett turning things around?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, he's, you know, he's shooting well this month. I think that, you know, I did a boom and bust, the boom and bust article I wrote.
Which I love, by the way. Thank you, Alex. Go see that.
The longest streak of his career that he shot over 35% in consecutive games is 5 games.
30. So, and you said, let me reiterate that. You said 35%.
35% field goal percentage in 5 consecutive games. That's his longest streak. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this month, or excuse me, this maybe like past 2 weeks, he's playing pretty well. Over the past, let me get these numbers up, 6 games, 20 points on 47% shooting, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. So, and his free throw percentage is up, which is crucial for him because he can get away with not being perfect from three, but it's historically been his field goal percentage, or excuse me, well, field goal and free throw percentage that's tanked his fantasy value. So hopefully this can be a turning point for him.
I'm okay not talking about historical aspects of RJ Barrett's game because he's only played 72 games. This kid hasn't even played a full rookie season yet. So, you know, judgments kind of don't matter at this point. I think it is good to see some of these improvements and signs that, you know, the fact that he's playing more minutes has been a big boon to his fantasy value. He's up from 30 minutes last year to 37 this year. The improvement from the free throw line is pretty significant. I mean, 61% to 75. He's still under 41% from the floor. That's not ideal. His 3-point shooting's actually gone down. He's at 23.5%. But the charity stripe improvements, you know, kind of lend to we'll eventually see improvements in those other areas. He's rebounding great, 7.5, almost 7.5 boards per game. What I want to see is more playmaking, especially because he's got such a high usage, because the ball's in his hands. I realize Julius Randle's facilitating a lot of that offense, but I would like to see Barrett pick up some more assists. You know, at this point, I'd say he's surpassed preseason expectations. He needs to refine his shot still. That's the one thing he just needs to improve upon.
Well, and the playmaking need is there just because they're kind of struggling for legit quality point guard play.
Yes.
Yeah, they are. He's ranked 139th in 8-cat right now. And again,
worse, you know, and worse in 9-category.
Right. And the main thing there is his field goal percentage, because most of his other numbers are pretty good. Like they're helping you probably.
Yep. If you're in a points league, he's been crushing it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you play DFS, if you're in a points league, he's been great there.
Now that your season-long fantasy basketball leagues have started, this is a great time to check out our friends at Monkey Knife Fight, the fastest-growing site in daily fantasy. The NHL and NBA are in full swing, and the NFL playoffs are here. The time is now to take advantage of a 100% instant match up to $50 on your first deposit by using our promo code WIRE. That's WIRE, as in Roto Wire. Get it? That's a free $50 in your Monkey Knife Fight account if you sign up with that promo code. We have huge NBA slates pretty much every night with the way the schedule works out this season, so there's no better time to dive into DFS. Whether you're an experienced player, just a beginner, Monkey Knife Fight is the place to play. Visit monkeyknifefight.com and use our promo code WIRE, that's W-I-R-E, WIRE, today.
Let's go with a waiver wire. Again, this format where we each have 2 picks, the first of which is available in at least 50% of leagues. We usually use Yahoo for that. And then a long shot of the week, which I think is, Ken, what's the parameters on that?
We're just calling it a long shot.
Okay. So probably
that's our hedge to say that not exactly a lock, but somebody with upside to ponder.
Generally less than 25% of leagues. I think we'll stick with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick things off quick with Lu Dort. He is rostered in 49% of leagues. He's up and down. You know, his minutes aren't perfect. His shot, you know, is still kind of not great. But at the same time, he's ranked 106 in 8-cat as a season, for the season as a whole.
Getting a ton of minutes.
Yeah, through the ups and downs, basically, throughout the year, you're going to get a solid player, even if the week-to-week production is here and there. I think, you know, he should definitely be on a bench without question.
Yeah, I like Dort. I own him in a few spots, and I agree with that. I don't know if he's cracked 10-team league value yet. It's close. I mean, the ranking says it's there, but definitely in 12-team leagues, he's a must-own.
And also, doesn't George Hill seem like a prime candidate to move before the trade deadline? There's no future with Hill and the Thunder, and that's only going to open up even more minutes for Dort.
It should. And speaking of the Thunder, Shannon, who is your waiver wire guy that's available in 50% of leagues?
Darius Bazley. I am amazed that he's not owned in more leagues. 46% Yahoo, 22% ESPN. He's locked into the starting lineup. He's been maybe his scoring's been somewhat underwhelming, but he's averaging 10.5, over 7 rebounds, 1.1 blocks, 1.3 three-pointers. The shooting is not great, 38% from the floor, 27% from downtown, but he is shooting 84% from the free throw line. So, you know, similar to Barrett, that he's got a 15-point jump in that free throw percentage. And to me, that's a strong indicator that his other shooting percentages will rise. He's just with the role locked in, the fact that he can chip in on the defensive side, he can get you steals. He's only averaging half a steal per game, but he does have the skill set to get over one steal, one block, and one three per game. I just love him as a fantasy option this year. 20-year-old with tons of upside.
Yeah, and getting 1.6 stocks a game already. You're right, with frankly ability to improve throughout the season. Plus, I don't know what's going on with Al Horford. His personal – oh, no, he had a child, right?
I don't know for certain, but yeah, he's out for
the personal reason he's out. I think it is because they had another child in his family, which is very nice. But I can't imagine Al Horford's heart is all in it for the Thunder this season, which would only just create more minutes for Roby and Bazley.
Yeah. Definitely. Ken, who do you have?
I kind of have two long shots this week. I know we were poo-pooing this earlier in the news, but I think if you need three-pointers, you got to check out Kentavious Caldwell-Pope while he's hot. He's available in 83% of leagues, and the Lakers have four games next week. Is he a pickup for your whole season? No. But if you need threes and looking for a hot hand for next week or two, KCP's lighting it up. And, you know, honestly, when you've got LeBron and AD on the roster, there ought to be a lot of catch-and-shoot threes available for the supporting staff. I think they're going to keep dishing it to Caldwell Pope in the corner while he's hot. So enjoy some nice threes.
Yeah, I'm looking at some numbers. KCP is taking more corner threes than ever, 10% more corner threes this year, and he's hitting those at 62%. He's 16 of 26. That's not going to keep up, but the corner shot is better than a normal or above the break three. So I think expecting his 3-point percentage to stay high is fine.
And, you know, he is for a wing, he's got a career field goal percentage of 48%. So this isn't wildly out of the realm. He's going to regress. But, you know, for a wing draining threes, you're usually pretty happy with 48%, frankly.
Yeah, plus the four games, that helps as well. my long shot of the week, Taurean Prince. I'm with Shannon in that he's clearly probably not going to be part of the future there. But he played 32 minutes in the Cavs. In his Cavs debut. Now, that was a double overtime game. Revenge game. But it was also the fifth most minutes on the team. 17 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal and a block. I think the main thing here is we've seen him put up numbers on a relatively bad team before when he was in Atlanta. I don't have a ton of faith, but again, that's why it's a long shot. If you're in a 14-teamer, maybe even deeper than that, I think he's at least worth a flyer.
Yeah, I mean, we saw last year with Brooklyn, you know, when he sees minutes, he can produce. He was at 29 minutes per game last season in Brooklyn, 12 points, 6 rebounds, just under one steal, 2.3 three-pointers. So if the minutes are there, yes, he can produce. I am skeptical that the minutes will be there even long-term. You've got Garland was out, Love was out, Windler was out. When this team gets healthy, once Love gets back, Nance is going to see more minutes at the three, I'm assuming. Osman is going to get minutes at the two and the three. I find it tough to carve out more than like 15 minutes per game for Prince once the team's healthy.
Yeah, it's a short-term ad, kind of a flyer stream situation if you're desperate. Shannon, who is your long shot?
Yeah, let me give you guys some true value here. Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb owned in 27% of Yahoo, 27% of Yahoo leagues, 11% of ESPN. You got TJ Warren out indefinitely. LeVert's out indefinitely. Lamb finally made his season debut this week. 10 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals in 19 minutes. They're probably going to ramp him up slowly, but eventually he's going to have an opportunity to play 25 to 30 minutes per game and really provide a scoring punch for the Pacers. I think there's a strong chance they keep him coming off the bench, and he really is like the lead scorer for their bench unit in that six-man role. But I don't envision Sumner, either of the Holidays, kind of blocking Lamb from providing fantasy value. I think he's in a good ad in 12 and 14 team leagues. 10 team leagues is more of a wait and see, or wait until he's getting closer to 30 minutes per game. But I would snatch him up in most 12 and 14 team leagues immediately.
Go ahead. As you said, Shannon, the wing spots are just wide open. Caris LeVert, what's our best case scenario? Caris LeVert, Alex, you're our injury expert. When he had a polyp on his kidney, I mean, his best case, 6 weeks?
Yeah, is that what it says?
No, I don't know what it
is. The Pritchard, Pacers general manager Kevin Pritchard said on Monday, announced the surgery, said he said a possible timeline. He said maybe, but 6 to 8 weeks from picking up a basketball. So just based on that, I would say 2 months, 2 months is probably what we're looking at. So, a St. Paddy's Day return is probably the best case scenario.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And Jeremy Lamb, you're right. He should kind of take on that LeVert type role until LeVert gets back. And best case scenario, I mean, maybe we see the kind of numbers he put up in 2018-19, his last year with the Hornets, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. That's really when, people thought he might be breaking out to some extent as a 26-year-old. Definitely worth an add if you have a bench spot that you really just aren't using and you're kind of getting lucky with injury and COVID stuff. How about you, Ken? Who is your long shot of the week?
My long shot, but I guess I should back up and acknowledge that, yes, the Jeremy Lamb suggestion from Shannon's good. I hate to agree with Shannon, but okay. My long shot is Kendrick Nunn, available in 74% of leagues. So just on the borderline of long shot, mostly is, a lot of injury news in Miami. Remember, he did start all 67 games for the Heat before he sort of disappeared in the playoffs. Last 3 games, he's averaging 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. I'm a little worried about Tyler Hero's neck injury. I know he's game time decision. The Heat are not going to put Tyler Hero at any kind of risk. And so if he's out or Dragic suffers another old person injury, as one would expect, I think the possibility for Nunn to continue seeing a lot of minutes like he has the last 3 games is there. But that's my long shot. I probably prefer Jeremy Lamb, to be honest, but I also like Nunn if you're in deeper leagues.
Yeah, that all makes sense. I mean, Tyler Hero, the neck spasm things, that's tough to deal with, right? They're going to be careful with that as much as possible. Nunn has been good when he's played. So it's definitely a speculative ad. I like that one.
Yeah, Nunn was great as a rookie. I believe... I may be mistaken, but I believe he finished above Tyler Hero in Rookie of the Year voting. Yeah. It might have been like 3rd overall in Rookie of the Year voting.
Better season stats, yeah.
Yeah, he was very good for the Heat. It just so happened that Tyler Hero kind of broke out in the bubble, and Jimmy Butler did his thing. So Nunn became obsolete for that team. You've got Dragic as well, of course. So in the meantime, while Hero and Butler are out, I love Nunn.
The RotoWire NBA podcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That is why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free six-month RotoWire subscription when you placed your first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website and use promo code ROTO, that's ROTO, R-O-T-O, to claim your free subscription. Once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insights. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, and 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada.
Okay, let's get to DFS. Yeah, there are a few postponements today. Two postponements, but it is a huge slate still. I believe it's 11 games still, if I'm looking at this correctly. It's a huge slate. So highest over unders today. Chicago at Charlotte 227, Brooklyn at Cleveland 226.5. Nothing crazy in terms of over unders today. Nothing over 230. Main injuries. This is a long list because this is how the NBA goes, and with so many games, this is kind of what you're dealing with. So out.
Check your RotoWire lineups.
Yes.
Go ahead, Alex.
Out, we have Jason Tatum, Christian Wood, John Wall, Jimmy Butler, Ricky Rubio, Al Horford. And the following guys are questionable. Pascal Siakam, Miles Turner, Wendell Carter is actually doubtful. Tyler Hero, DeAndre Hunter, Darius Garland, Cam Reddish, Michael Porter Jr., Kevin Durant. All those guys are questionable. So I would say don't even bother building a lineup till like an hour beforehand. Like don't even look at it. That's my professional advice. As far as some value goes, obviously a ton of value is going to open up on the slate, probably assuming half of these questionable guys are ruled out. But as of right now, we know Christian Wood is out. So a lot of people are going to play DeMarcus Cousins at 4,500. My main concern there, he just can't get over like 25 minutes, really. And he's had some bad games. So
he always looks winded. He's always like, he is like the first guy to grab his shorts, you know, when there's a dead ball.
Yeah,
he looks like us at Rec League, frankly, Shannon and I, the first break.
I'll take the Cousins comp. Thank you.
The better GPP play might actually end up being Daniel Gafford, who's min priced on FanDuel with Wendell Carter Jr. doubtful. High block rate guy, not an insane rebounder, but when you're 7 feet tall, you can walk your way into 10 rebounds. If you play on the inside, solid player overall. And then obviously, again, with Christian Wood out, Oladipo and Eric Gordon become really the only driving forces of that offense. So keep that in mind as well.
Gafford's a power forward on FanDuel. Oh, so go, okay. Do both. Go Cousins, yeah. And Gafford if you're feeling it. I've got a few picks. I mentioned Dragic earlier. If Hero's out, I like him all the more. He's $5,200 on FanDuel, and he's basically a walking 30 fantasy points. You know, he's played 30, 33, and 31 minutes the past three games, and he's averaging about 27, 28 fantasy points over that stretch. You know, just the fact that he can certainly blow up for more with the Heat being shorthanded. I also like Colin Sexton. This is pretty obvious since he's coming off that big 63-point fantasy outing. 42-5-5 in 38 minutes. Was it a double OT game against Brooklyn, I believe? Big game, coming out party for Sexton. And his price didn't really jump that much. I think he only went up about $400 on FanDuel. He's at $7,500. You know, I will also say at shooting guard, like Alex, I like Oladipo quite a bit, all the more with Christian Wood out. But I feel like Oladipo It would almost be a surprise if he doesn't get 45 to 50 fantasy points with Wood and Wall both out.
Shannon, Bickerstaff said he expects Garland to play Friday. Does that change your Sexton outlook?
A little bit. I still think he's a good price at 7,500. I might tweak some things if Garland does return. We'll have to see. The Cleveland injury updates have not been very friendly to DFS players this year. So I'm going to hold off to make that decision until very late. And then, you know, Alex mentioned at the beginning of this that Charlotte, Chicago, that's the highest over under. And I love almost everyone from that game, you know, whether it's LaMelo, Rozier, PJ Washington, Markkanen, you know, LaVine, if you're looking to go big, I love all of them. They're all solid plays tonight.
How about you, Ken? What do you got?
I just got one value. I'm going to keep beating this drum. Isaiah Roby, 4,500 power forward on FanDuel against the Clippers. No Al Horford. I feel like some folks may be giving up on Roby a little too early. He's only 22 years old. He is coming off a 34-point fantasy game against Denver. So I still like Roby as my value, as a value play at power forward.
Go him and Gafford at power forward for a combined $8,000. And he can load up everywhere else.
There you go.
Very true. Yeah, this will be an interesting slate in terms of, you know, it could just be a stars and scrubs kind of a night, which always ends up being interesting. Is there anyone, I'm looking right now at some of the higher priced guys. Is there anyone that really sticks out to you, Shannon? I mean, I'm looking at Doncic against the Spurs right now. I don't know who guards him on San Antonio. You know, he's his kind of customary 11,000.
It's tough. I'm not a big fan of most of the matchups. I mean, some of the data says that San Antonio's a decent matchup. That could be the case with Derek White out. I just think 11,000 is too much in this slate, given some of the other values. I mean, if I'm going big, I might lean more like Trae Young or Vucevic. Just under 10,000 for those guys. I like the matchups. Vucevic has been pretty dominant for the Magic. You know, he's even got a 68-point fantasy outing a couple games ago, but he's had to really pick up the slack with Fultz out. Another thing to watch is Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant sits, Harden and Kyrie both become a lot more interesting.
Well, Shannon, you mentioned Zach LaVine. 9,300 on FanDuel against a Charlotte backcourt not known for its defense. He could go off as well.
Yeah.
Ken, we saw Joel Embiid have a huge game against Boston the other day. He's 10,000 right now, went for 42-10, 65 fantasy points.
I was shocked Boston didn't go bigger to defend him, especially with Tatum out. I thought we'd see more Tice and Thompson together. Maybe we will tonight. But we didn't see as much of that Wednesday, to my surprise, especially when you want to free up Brown so he and Walker can lead the scoring and not have to worry about having to carry the load on help out. So, yeah, we'll see. Embiid, certainly big upside. Tristan Thompson supposed to bang well with Embiid, but it sure didn't happen Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay, I think that'll mostly do it. For us today. So, Ken, it is time for your old man rant.
Have you seen the Simpsons clip where Grandpa Simpson says, "Dear Mr. President, there are too many states. Please eliminate three. I am not a crackpot." I feel the same way about NBA uniforms. There are too many, and I do not care for the Milwaukee Bucks alternate blue uniforms that we saw last night. I get it. Milwaukee is on Lake Michigan. Lots of cities are on bodies of water. Chicago's on Lake Michigan. Should they have a blue version? No! Milwaukee's blue unis are ugly and dull. If we ever return to sports bars, I will not be able to tell who the team in blue is. Please stop making all these extra unis, or at least stick to your primary colors. I am not a crackpot!
Without the extra unis, I would have never have found out about Cream City, and that would just be a disservice to the world.
It would be a year without Cream City jokes. That is true. They bailed on Cream City, didn't they? For the blue.
They did.
Yes.
Yeah. Just when we thought they cared about it, they showed their true colors, and those are blue. I don't think we really had any mispronounced names today, this is like a unprecedented streak of.
It's like Barrett shooting over 35%.
Yeah, it really is. People are debating whether or not this will continue for the rest of time. I think the smart money is on no. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is presented by BetMGM and Monkey Knife Fight. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's go to Washington again, where Russell Westbrook's trying to play for the Bullets or the Wizards. Actually, he said these quotes with OKC in 2019, but they're still enjoyable. When Westbrook was asked about his defensive rebounding mindset, he said, quote, stat padding. Love to hear that from a fantasy standpoint. When asked if he and Joel Embiid are cool, he said, F no. And I've cleaned that up for the pod. And finally, during a game, he told Dame Lillard, I've been busting that ass for years. Come back, Russ. We need this entertainment. Attention, passengers. This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.